Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Bev. Today's call, we're going to talk about seven keys to asking the right questions. Mm. This is one of the best teachings God ever allowed me to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Luke 2:46 says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." If Jesus was asking questions at an early age, should we do any less? Now, I find it significant that the verse says Jesus heard them and then asked questions. The best way to learn? Ask questions of your mentor, pastor, or anyone you know who will offer godly advice and counsel. As an aside, not asking questions from anyone, well, don't do it when anybody is lost as a goose in a blizzard. Here are 5 things you should know about asking questions. Then we're going to share a profound passage of scripture on asking questions. First, listen and learn before you ask questions. You realize, and we've shared this before, that the word listen also creates the word silent. Do you think there's a reason why God, well, he gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth? It's been recommended that perhaps we should listen twice as much as we talk. James 1:19, Classic Amplified Bible. "Understand this, my beloved brethren, that every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and get angry." I find it significant that James 1:19 begins with the word understand. And he said understand before we're told to be ready listeners. Simply said, hearing God's word is not enough. You must also understand what you're hearing. Hallelujah. Strategic listening prompts understanding, which will always allow us to ask the right questions.
Second, think creatively. Then write down your questions. If you have a mentor or someone whose opinion you really value, you need to prepare a list of questions before you have a conversation. Think about this next sentence and meditate on it. Your preparation for conversation is an indication of respect and honor. And wow, that is so true.
That's good.
When somebody comes to see us, you know, with a written list of questions, we know they're serious about learning what it is that we have to share. A lot of times my husband will view the written questions, as I will, as a sign of respect of, you know, time, which of course is our lives.
Absolutely. Third, realize the right question always precedes the right answer. What is it you want to learn as a result of your questions? James 6:5, the International Version. When Jesus looked up and saw a great multitude coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Philip says that Jesus was testing Philip. That's what the scriptures say. John 6:6, New International. He asked him only to test him, for he had in mind what he was going to do. Without question, Philip missed it. When Jesus asked Philip where they could buy bread to eat, and Philip responded by totally ignoring the question that Jesus asked him. Jesus wanted to know where, and Philip was trying to figure out how. Andrew was more helpful than Philip, although it seems he still didn't see the complete potential for this miracle manifestation. John 6:8, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Well, what are they among so many?" Philip asked how. Now Andrew is asking what. Jesus just wanted to know where, because he already had the answer to the right question.
Fourth, Remember, you're asking a question, not giving a speech. You know, in the presence of a mentor or anyone who has information you want, and I think this happens so often, when you meet people who are well-known and very famous, you have to remember that you're not there to impress them by your words. You're there to learn from them.
True.
Recently, we had Robert Slaren with us over last weekend. And, you know, he's been around the world. He's done a lot of things, went to heaven at 8 years old. He has a lot of information about who God is, how he works, and some of the stuff going on. So when people come up to him, and it's always interesting to watch people's response, because a lot of times they want to tell him how much they know when they really ought to be asking him what he knows.
That's true.
So we have to be careful of those things in our lives, that we understand what it's like to be in the presence of someone who is, well known and has a lot of information that we could share. A lot of information that they could share with us. We would be better people because of it. So really, the point of it is, it's not about you, it's about them.
Fifth, answering a question with a question makes the other person think or come to some sort of self-realization. One of the best examples of asking the right questions can be found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Verse 11, and he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Verse 12. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." 13. And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat."
Sixth, exercise initiative in speaking to the right people. What does initiative actually mean? According to Random House Dictionary, initiative is defined as an introductory act or step, leading action, readiness and ability in initiating action. I mean, 50 years ago, it's been almost really, we had a president of a college we worked for, and he had a saying cross-stitched, that was back in the day of cross-stitching, in the man's office, and it said, "Initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it." The best initiative we can demonstrate is not from the minds of men, but rather the kind that God inspires.
We're going to share four verses with you. We suggest you read them two or three times. In fact, we encourage you to have a pen and paper handy so you can make notes on these powerful passages. Luke 12, 29 through 32. Luke 12, 29 through 32, Message Bible. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Not so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know how God works, steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Spoiler alert, there are 10 things you should glean from this passage. But in this teaching, we're only going to focus on the expression God's initiative.
So here are 7 keys to taking initiative. Number 1, ask God for his direction and wisdom. Remember, it's a God initiative you're after. I like Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you mighty things." Number 2, make a commitment to step out in front. See yourself as being successful. If you start seeing yourself as being successful, other people will start seeing you as being successful. Number three, create a game plan. Put your plan in writing, and if you have a supervisor, you need to get their approval before taking off on your own, of course. Number four, establish a timeline. You need to know what you want to have happen and when. And number five, monitor your progress. You need to inspect what you expect to prevent defects so it will be perfect. Said the way my husband would say it. Number six, overcome any and all obstacles. If your plan was easy, anybody could do it. But if you ask, your Heavenly Father will gladly give you instructions on the path that you should take. So that's the way it needs to be. Number seven, enjoy your success as you give God the glory. Always remember that it was God who brought you to the dance. He gave you wisdom and he gives you favor, and he's the one who gives you the ability to succeed.
Yes, he does. Seventh, bless those who give of their lives to answer your questions. Galatians 6:6-6:6, Classic Amplified. Let him who receives instruction in the Word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. As previously stated on this call, when someone spends their time advising and helping you, you're not only getting the answers, you're getting their lives.
That's right.
Because their time is their life. Mm. The Living Bible translation of Galatians 6:6 is even more direct when it says, those who are taught the Word of God should help their teachers by paying them. We need to remember, we're not buying their time. We're blessing them for sharing their combined wisdom with us.
That's right.
And that's really something to think about.
It is something to think about.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Another great day.
Yes,
it
is.
To go out and be a witness for the Lord.
Amen. We're just believing that today will be the best Wednesday of your life.
That's right.
And you need to expect it to be. Greet this day with expectation and anticipation.
And he will give you
manifestation from God. And yes, he'll give you the revelation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to heraldhearing.com. If you're blessed by the teaching or the ministry, click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.